It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
And welcome back to the Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim Divine Show.
That's the most normal.
That was it.
That's
I
the
just
most
figured
normal
I'd go back to the
since
beginning.
We started. I'll go
all
with that
kind
one.
Of different terms for
thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you.
It seems like it's been a long time since we were here.
Time flies, you know.
But it's, what is it, 70 degrees out? Sunny?
Yeah, whose bright idea was that?
That's
this
weird.
Is Ohio.
Let's see. Well, since my house issues, maybe I'll have something happen with the sun in my house. So hopefully that's a good thing, but
sun
it's supposed to rain a lot, so that can always be a problem.
Yeah, that can always throw you some curveballs.
We have a special guest, Cam 2 Hollaball. The sequel is in the studio, thankful. That he is.
Thankful for his time and to be able to come back. And
yeah, because we didn't finish up, and that was some important stuff that we needed to get to.
Well, we had such a good time the first time, and like I said, we got on.
I told him to brag a little bit more this
time.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that one. Got to do it.
Because other people brag, and they have nothing to brag about, so you do. So let's
yeah, you know, that's kind of backwards. We get the you get some people that never did anything, and they talk like they're Muhammad Ali, and then Cam goes, I was all right.
Yeah, I was okay, yeah. Last time I checked, player of the year is pretty good. I want to thank some sponsors real quick. Sherry Gordon Hair Salon. She's another one that's irritated with the way I say her business. Is there a different way to say that?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Perlene Asphalt, she got on top of me on that one. Masters Bar and Grill, which is next door, and still
and the mystery owner, he keeps saying he's
here.
Coming over here.
And I hope he's listening.
Yeah, dude,
dude, are you kidding
me? I'd love to meet you, Tommy. Speak,
you're,
talks
you're like,
the world.
Become like.
I mean, we're talking like 25 yards here, man. Like, we'll send a limo
like
for you, whatever you want to do.
Okay, we also have Crusader Financial, Timmy May Jr.
Is Timmy home from Florida? Have you talked
I'm
to him?
I'm not Tom? Sure.
Okay.
And I was going to bring up Jack, but I'm not going to do that yet. So we're going to bring back Cam Hollaball. We so appreciated him last time, and we need to finish some things, and I'm going to turn it over to Jimmy
cool.
from here.
Outstanding.
And Cam.
I'm going to give him a couple individualized questions because of his multi-sport, and then we're going to just talk about outlook. And
from here.
Yes, absolutely. So, Cam, if you had a favorite moment between all of them, high school. What was your favorite moment between all three sports, if you had to pick one? Because obviously,
everybody
for you people who are just
one.
Catching this the second time, Cam's a player of the year in all three sports. He's very modest and goes, well, they don't give you a player of the year in baseball. Well, they might as well have because the year they won the state championship, yeah, he was all state like 36 times. Okay. But
and then you start spreading to other states, but go ahead.
There you go. Go ahead, bro. what was your favorite moment of the three? Like if you had one thing – like a hit, a pass.
So you don't want
dunk.
Me to say the state championship, that game,
the baseball game.
Yeah,
do whatever. What in the state championship?
Okay. You will never forget.
What moment?
I'll never forget. I got hit in the helmet with a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up getting on base and then scoring. I got hit in, scored a run, and we ended up winning the game 3-2. So I believe that was the third run that we scored that game, but. I guess had I not got hit in the head with that ball, broke my helmet, we never would have scored. We never would have won. So,
there you go, big one.
Bro, I know. There's a whole lot more.
Oh
than
no,
that.
There's definitely.
Give me another one. Give me some. Okay,
here's, let's
do a
rephrase
give,
this.
Let's do one in each sport.
No, let me rephrase this. I remember winning the game with a 3-run homer after I pitched 10 innings and we were down 2-0 with 2 strikes. That kind of moment, like. You sit every now and then, and maybe you're not old enough to really gather it up, but there's got to be, I don't care if it was 10 years old, moments that you, if you could go do it again, you would. How about that?
And we'll do one in each sport, because
yeah.
He's kind of a rare bird. He's given us
something
the baseball
if you
one.
You could go back and do that again.
Yeah, okay, so that baseball one was just like a moment in the state championship
gotcha.
Game that stood out to me, but... All right, so we'll go football. I'd scored a lot of touchdowns. So
yes, you did.
I don't know if there's like a specific touchdown that stands out. But if I could pick one, one touchdown, it would be this long run I had, and it was just a playoff. It was a random playoff game. It wasn't like anywhere regionals or anything like that, but I think I just ran over a few different dudes in the same play, I think probably about four, and then ended up scoring like a 55-yard touchdown.
I was just saying, down the left sideline?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that, yeah.
And
who wouldn't remember that?
So then
I remember it, and he's like, come on, man.
I'd be talking about that every day.
We're not in church. Brag a little, brother.
Basketball.
This ought to be good.
There were a lot of good basketball moments. They definitely came more towards my junior and senior year because that's when I did most of my scoring was in those years. So probably like one of the district games just probably scored a bunch of points.
Was it in a playoff game or during the regular season you got your 1,000 points?
It was regular season against Hubbard.
See, there you go. I remember that. Attaboy. How many points did you have in that game all together?
30.
There you go.
30 points.
What's the most you scored in a high school game?
36.
You guys scored like 50 points, so you had almost all the points.
Yeah.
No. Oh, cool. Yeah, that's. I mean, that's this stuff, man. Like, you're allowed to talk about it now.
I bring up those, the record 10 threes, and Vince acts like that.
That's pretty crazy. 10 threes is really
10
crazy.
10 threes, and he's going, and the coach, if you see the video,
look like a video
like
game.
Going,
yeah, like this.
Do something about
arms
that.
Up. Somebody tackle that kid. College. What did you see were the biggest changes with college? When you went to college, even though like people, it was Division II. Yeah, I don't care if it's Division 36 anymore in college, man, because you got to be able to play. It's not the old days where here, we're just going to give you a roster spot because we like you or your dad went here or whatever. Those days are few. Everybody dropped down a notch when the transfer portal opened up. You saw...
Oh, there was no
D1 guys going to D2, D2 going to D3, D3 All-Americans going to junior college and, going from there. What was your biggest takeaway between football and baseball, both? What did you see?
Yeah, so I'll start with football, and I'll be able to give you not only the high school to Division II, but the Division II to Division I, the differences.
Right, yeah, because you did all that. That's a rare one, yeah.
So, between high school and Division II, it was the biggest difference was the physicality, the size, and then just the mindset. I would say the mindset is the thing that separates the people who play and the people who leaving and not playing or don't stick with
Your
it because
heart's not in it. Right.
Yeah, my freshman year it was tough. I mean, I went from playing, not coming off the field, doing every single thing on the field, and then I was basically felt like I wasn't good enough because I went there, didn't play at all. Red shirt in my freshman year, and then so it took a lot of discipline, like I said, that mindset to want to put your foot down and just keep working so that you could so I can get on the field.
All right.
And then so just in that off season, I worked out really hard. I was not the biggest lifter in high school.
No,
I would rather play instead of actually going and lifting and doing stuff like that. So. That off season, I lifted really hard, put on about 15 pounds because I got to school at about 205, and then I was 220 that next season. And, so the biggest difference there was the mindset, physicality, and then the strength. And then when you go to the next level, talking Division I, it's even more. It's literally a job.
But it's almost like stuff you used to be able to get away with because you were so much better.
Yeah,
now
athletically,
you can't. Get away with that at that next level.
That's because everybody's just as good as
exactly.
you are.
Exactly.
They're
that's
all.
Exactly how
I had this conversation with somebody, but if you think about it, every play, even when you go, even Division III, NAIA, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
All the kids on those teams are they're the best players to come out of their area.
Exactly.
The ones that play and stuff like that. You'll get your guys that aren't, but the guys that are playing and stuff, they're the best players that came out of their area. They're the best players on their high school team. And then.
That's exactly
they end
right.
up coming and playing college football. So yeah, there's no more. Oh, you could just go through the motions
yeah,
and
I got, I need
you
to
got it today because every day, especially as I got to Ohio University, if you didn't pack your lunch for practice, you were gonna get tossed around.
The depth chart's gonna come and haunt you.
You were gonna get smacked in the mouth. I mean, they were coming. Those are those are big boys coming to block you. And
right.
I mean, everybody's strong. Everybody's athletic. You can't get away with, like, half-assed and stuff going through the motions. And so that was the biggest difference in with football. Baseball-wise, the same things. Baseball's baseball, in my opinion. Obviously, there'll be better pitchers, better players. They throw better pitches.
Well, it's
but, like, there's no, like, physicality to baseball. There is a mindset because it's already a hard enough game. So you have to be able to handle the adversity, because a 400 hitter in high school might be a 270, 300 right. hitter in college, which right, is right. which is frustrating, and it's hard to understand. But baseball is literally a game of failure. So
game of attrition.
Yep,
you got to be able to. Another chance, though. It's a game of another chance.
Got to be able to handle the ebbs and flows of baseball. So I would say, baseball wise, it was more mental than anything
exactly.
than physical.
You're one of the rare kids that I've had that would you, in the long term now that you've had time to sit back and look, and this is a question I've waited to ask somebody for a long time, because at the bigger schools, in the bigger programs, do you feel the red shirt year was beneficial to you? Because some kids look at it as a demotion. And they don't realize, like, if you're a wide receiver in the receiver room at Ohio State and they go redshirt, you're like, okay, because you're not going to see it. You're just not going to, you know what I mean? Like, if you see a true freshman at Ohio State, that kid's a first rounder.
Yeah.
If they're playing.
Yeah.
Because they're that.
Yeah.
Because those kids in that room, whether it's a quarterback, I mean, how many Ohio State quarterbacks left Ohio State and ended up first rounders in the NFL?
Yeah.
You know, or left another school like Georgia and ended up a first rounder at Ohio State. And that's, I've always said in today's environment, because of the portal, because the players are more mature sooner and older, that if somebody's going to give you a red shirt and they're going to give you an extra year of school, hey, go take it.
Yeah.
And you're one of the few in this realm now with the portal, with the advent of red shirts being a little more prevalent. Do you feel, looking back, I know at the time you're like, well, they're saying I'm not good enough. No, it's just not your window yet.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Price, you know, he's an All-American at Ohio State. He worked for us up in Austintown. And I remember he was like, I'm going to play defense. I'm going to play defense. And me and his mentor looked at each other, and I go, he ain't never seeing defense at Ohio State. I said, they're going to move him to the offensive line, because Urban Meyer wanted real that, you know, Ohio State got dumped by USC because they were much more athletic on the defensive and offensive line. Billy was a ridiculous athlete. And he came home and they're going to redshirt him. And he had his head between his legs, and he's great. I'm going to transfer to YSU. And Urban talked him into staying. And the kid, one of the most decorated linemen in the offensive linemen in the history of Ohio State. And looking back at it now, he's like, yeah, I should have.
Mm-hmm.
But you're the first one I've been able to have an open conversation about. Do you feel it was beneficial to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very grateful that I ended up redshirting. Because like you said, not a lot of people, not everybody gets that opportunity, because at our school, there was only so many like red shirt.
Yeah, you can only have so many.
You can only have so many red shirts.
D2, you're allowed to carry so many. Ohio State, I think, I mean, like Division 1, Division 3, it's not even considered a red shirt. It's considered non-roster. I don't know. It's not a demotion, but it's, they call it non-roster, something, whatever, non-roster. Some schools call it a red shirt.
And in the time that it happened, it was awfully humbling. I was, mm-hmm. like I mentioned earlier, that I was pretty disappointed that I felt like I didn't have. It definitely did that. And it's like just a, like you said, a year to grow. A year to grow as like a person, an athlete, and then mentally, because
you get accustomed to what's going on around you.
Yeah, yeah. And that year was probably the greatest year, because I wouldn't have been able to do everything I did on the field the rest of my career at Walsh, or have that extra year to go to Ohio University and continue to do what I wanted to do.
Right.
So, yeah, I would, if you have the opportunity to redshirt and that's what they want you to do, I would 100% advise for it.
Yeah, because if you have a bunch of guys coming in the same class.
Right.
And you're like a half click behind the other three, you know.
Yeah,
they want you, like I said, and the one I always use is the receiver room at Ohio State. It's just like, you know, rinse, repeat. They just, every year they got a couple first rounders. And I couldn't imagine sitting in that room and being like, the seventh guy at Ohio State's like the two guy at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you don't, they're just so otherworldly. If you had, now here's a great one. If you had a skill set between the two sports that you most liked or you were the most proud of that you did was your favorite, what would you say? You know, hitting a baseball, throwing a football,
fielding,
putting your helmet through somebody's chest, you know, playing shortstop, pitching, because you did it all. What would you say skill set wise was your favorite thing to do in each sport and then between both?
Yeah. So football, my favorite thing to do is actually, so I'm not like the most, I'm not like the strongest guy in the world, but I'm like quick and like kind of shifty.
Right.
So
right.
I would like kind of set up linemen and then I wouldn't even really like engage with them. I would just like dip my shoulder or like work a move and not even really get touched. And like I've got a lot of film of guys like completely whiffing and falling on the ground. So,
well, you're just so agile. That's the thing. I mean, how many high school quarterbacks that were as, you know, prolific as you end up becoming linebackers?
Yeah.
You know, you, I mean, you'll see tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see an occasional wide receiver to put on 40, 50
But you know what's
pounds.
Really funny as you're talking about that is baseball is something that's different because – if you go 0-for-4, all of a sudden you start changing little, just little bit of changes,
yeah.
subtle
yeah.
changes. All of a sudden, you're swinging at different types of pitches that you wouldn't swing at.
Right.
Basketball is a game. If you start thinking about it, forget it. You start your arms. It's a zone you're in. It's just football is nothing but speed, strength, and skill. That's it. I mean, you play your position. You either know. Baseball's a weird game because you start changing something or all of a sudden you back up in the box. You
yeah.
try to make these changes that probably aren't the reason you're not hitting it. Just and basketball's another one. You start thinking about it. Maybe I should put my elbow. You're not going to make anything. You're mm-hmm. going to go. So that's the thing, like, when I'm asking these questions, because I didn't play football at any level like that, and you were actually out there with, you know, you're playing against West Virginia.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are going to play pro. I mean,
yes.
You're out on the field, so you would know.
Yeah. And then as far as baseball goes, I would say I developed actually in college into more of like a power hitter. In
yeah.
high school, I wasn't really – like I had a few home runs, and they were like here or there when I would really
yeah.
get into a ball. I was more like line drives, like gap right. to gap. And then I kind of ended up hitting a lot of home runs in college. So I just developed like that
well,
swing.
And I think the strength and
yeah, the strength,
the core
yeah.
work and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
I mean, projection. That's the thing about, you know, you look at football and people project, well, if he does this and this. Baseball is a true projection sport unless a guy's already full grown, ready to roll.
That's true.
Team.
That's very true. Yep.
The ability to look at a
look
guy
ahead.
And go, okay, this is what, this is how, this is when. You know,
and when you get with the right people, they know what to
they
look
can bring
for
you
to
along,
make
yeah.
what you need to be.
Look for and who to put you in front of, you know, to and take you to the people that, like I said, I know, you know, obviously when you sophomore, junior year in high school, when we were working in baseball, there was a lot of stuff that came, you know, amazingly easy to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember telling you, look, you're going to, you know, keep growing. And then, like I said, I remember talking to somebody and they said, oh, well, he got redshirted in football. I said, that may be the best thing ever happened to him in both sports. He said, why? Because he got bigger and stronger. I said,
yep, you're right.
You know, he was a guy that was going to go play. Your practice was to go play and get better.
Mm-hmm.
You were not going to do sprint work. You were not going to do plow work. You'd do something, but I mean, you weren't going to obsess over it like some kids do.
Yeah, that's actually kind of what I, like, that's what changed probably most about me is now I am the guy that will go do the
You'll cover
the plyo
all the bases,
work.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll go hit off the tee for an hour before practice even starts.
Right.
Front toss.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, just stuff like that. All like.
Well, how your process changed.
Well, yeah, yeah. My process, like the work, like because the work does pay off, and yeah, it might seem mundane or boring in the moment, especially when you're younger, like. In high school and stuff, like, yeah, all you want to do is play.
All you want to do is
Oh, and your girlfriend's sitting outside the cage going, can we go?
Yeah.
You know. And
everyone
then,
wants to do what they're good at.
And yeah.
You're young.
Right, yeah. And then when you get to college, though, you got to realize that, like, that hard work, everybody's putting it in.
Yeah.
So you either got to work harder or you're going to get passed up. You're going to get beat in the box. You're going to get
yeah.
beat on the field. But you mentioned redshirting. I wish if I could have changed anything, baseball wise, it would have been redshirting.
Take the redshirt in baseball too. I don't think they'd have let you because you were so far above and beyond those guys.
Yeah,
that was a part of that program when you got there. And not to knock the program, but you were probably the biggest recruit they'd had, baseball wise, in quite a while.
Let you then.
Well, actually,
because they're paying for your
coach. If
isn't
coach,
that how that works?
Well, no, they get 5 years.
What ended up happening? Ended up happening was there was like, because my freshman year there was like a lot of 6 years because of COVID, and a lot of fifth years. So that's what happened in football and baseball really, because when I got there as a freshman in baseball, I didn't play right away either, and it was also really difficult because I didn't do any baseball in the fall. So when I got there in the spring, I was already kind of like
crash course.
They kind of already had their lineup made up. You know what I mean? Huh. So in order for me to get even crack the lineup, I would have had to
turn into Babe Ruth on steroids.
Yeah, in two very short months before we played our first game. Like I was the second string first baseman, third baseman my freshman year, and then.
That was a question I was going to ask you because I remember seeing that. And I know you were always the type of kid, just let me on the field. The one thing with Coach Meade that if you remember, I saw you and you go, I'm playing first base and my head kind of cocked sideways.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel – what was the reasoning behind that? Not that it was a terrible thing because it allowed
you – Was it just somewhere they wanted to put you for your bat at the time or just –
Yeah, that, so
– Long term, were they looking long-term projection? Because I wouldn't have –
There's no way I would have.
You were too athletic. To me, I mean, okay, great. Like, Justin Beiler's probably the best athlete we ever saw come. You and him are the two best athletic specimens that ever came through the business. Beiler went from an All-American catcher to they hit him in right field because he was a draft and follow. Then he was an All-American in right field. Then they stuck him at third base so he'd screw up on purpose and nobody draft him and the Pirates could keep his rights. It was almost like when I heard that, I was like, okay, Cam's playing first base. And I'm like, wow, who do they got at third? You know, what do they got, Nolan Arenado over there?
It was weird, but he liked middle infielders to play those three infield positions.
He did the old school, three shortstops.
That's really old school.
So we had survival of the fittest.
Like usually most teams we would play would have a dude like my size or like a little bit my build, like bigger, playing third.
Yeah. Left field.
And then our third baseman was smaller than our shortstop and second baseman. Your third baseman usually hits a lot of your home runs.
Right, right.
Probably your three hitter. So I was our three hitter, but I was playing first base just because once I played first base my freshman year, it kind of just that's
well,
how
and
it
the
ended
thing
up
about
sticking.
It, got your looking at it now the way those. You said that you had a lot of crash course time. You could play first base and it's great. That's a heck of an athlete to have at first base. The other thing is you don't have as much pickup time.
Yeah.
And the intricacies of what they're running.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they could throw you out there. And first baseman, I mean, they have responsibilities, but they don't have responsibilities that take a ton of reps mm-hmm. like the other three mm-hmm. spots.
Yeah.
I was out in right field batting third when
I didn't even know what to do. I played left field my senior year.
What if they hit me a ball? I won't even know what to do.
I've never stuck you in center.
I liked left field a lot.
My son Tommy liked left field. He moved him out there.
That was the thing I always wondered with when I heard that, when I first heard that. And I was like, wow, okay. You know, and I'm like, I don't remember them having that kind of depth that Cam Hallbaugh'd be a. But if that's what was going to get you out there in a short period, so be it.
Right.
And that's why I say with Beiler went all the way around, and he ended up being a top-ranked prospect in baseball at first base.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. I mean, he came in with McCutchen and them, and I was like, he's playing left, like right at one time, McCutchen's in center. And I was like, okay, that looks about right. And then all of a sudden they move him to first, and he's killing the ball and whichever. So, but no, I just find it intriguing sometimes the decisions people make. And you see that now when you're talking about the shortstop thing where they recruit all shortstops.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Georgia and LSU, that's the first thing they tell you. You know, some kid, unless he's left-handed, they're taking the best athletes they can get. And when you go to a high school game 9 out of 10 times, it's the guy at short.
Exactly.
And then they just start bouncing around. We did it the 1 year with Levy years ago. I had Nicky Guerrieri, who went to Notre Dame. What was Stevie's last name? He went to UNC Charlotte, and then Phil Butch went to Slippery Rock. And you had three different types of short. You had Guerrieri, who was kind of big. He was the least rangy. And then Steve, the kid from Fitch, was an all-state quarterback at Fitch, you know, long, rangy, Dan Marino playing short. And then Phil Butch was this little Omar Vizquel. And I can remember Phil getting mad about, why am I playing second? And I was like, you'll see. Well, then he goes to Slippery Rock. In his first year, he's stuck behind an All-American shortstop at Slippery Rock. So they had him play second. Then as soon as the kid graduated, he's an All-American. His dad, his mom griped at me for years. And then when he went to Slippery Rock and played second, because he played it, it was an easy transition, and he started for 4 years. Otherwise, he would only started for two. But, yeah, you see stuff like that, and it's just...
God always has a plan better than the plan you have.
Yeah.
That's the truth, though.
Yeah. You got to see the big picture sometime.
Yeah.
He knows more than we do.
Yeah. So, but who was the best? Now, let's go to the baseball front. While you were at Walsh, who was the best guy you saw outside of your team in that conference?
Pitching-wise?
Let's go pitching first. Let's go
baseball. This kid named Evan Oakley.
Yeah.
From Kentucky Wesleyan.
Yep.
He was an All-American.
He got drafted.
He's still there. This is his senior year.
I think he's in dub. Oh, yeah. He's still in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
he's one of the top. He's top 100 in the country. I know that.
And then I'll definitely mess up this kid's name, but he was at Trevecca. He was
Tribeca,
big righty through mid-90s. He came from Tennessee. I'll mess up his name.
He was a drop down.
Yeah, he was from Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee, and he dropped down to play.
Yeah,
NAI.
He was their game one starter. He threw pretty hard.
I know. I remember. I know who you're talking about, and I can't think of his name either.
How tall was he?
Oh, he was tall, like 6'6", probably.
Yeah, long. They look like they're right in front of you when they're like 6'6".
Absolutely.
Then it's like real downhill trajectory.
Oh, my God.
So here we are running out of time again.
Yep. I got the fingers. I got three fingers.
You could put Cam and I and Tommy. We could probably have a 3-hour show talking about the nuances of baseball, football.
I wanted to talk about other kids your age, but we didn't get to that.
Well, we'll have to have him back. I don't know if it'll be next week, but we'll have to have him back for
a
third one. Cam will be the star fill-in every time we get somebody has to cancel. We'll just call Cam, and Cam will come in and be the stud that he is. So, Carl got that mischievous grin. I think he's got
Leno
something for his Tommy.
Tonight Show.
Go ahead, fire away, brother.
All right, so we're just a couple weeks away from a new baseball season, and there is a major new rule that's taking place that they're implementing. Does anybody here know what it is?
Checking the sign. Tap your. Are they implementing big league games where you can check the umpire? Where you can tell. I know they're doing it in spring training where you're hitting the helmet. And games are going to take like 6 hours now because every single guy that strikes out never thinks it's a strike.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's the automated ball strike challenge system.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. The helmet tap. Yep. But do they only get so many? Here's my question.
Oh,
Tom,
please tell me that.
You only
get
so many? Kind of like when you throw it in football, when you throw the...
I'd have been every pitch, I think. I'd be up there going...
It's probably like challenges. Like you only
get
so
many.
So each team only gets two challenges per game.
Okay, I got you. So now we got challenges on the bases, and now we got ball and strike challenges, is what you're saying.
In extra innings, a new additional challenge is awarded for each extra inning if a team has none left.
I got you. But then if they don't use them, they get them all in the extras.
Yeah, I
know what you're saying. They can add them up.
Yeah, so they're saying this is designed as a middle ground between robot umps and the human judgment, allowing for correction of clear errors.
Well, the problem you're going to have is you're going to get a lot of blowback from the umpires association, mm-hmm. the umpires union. Well, Major League Baseball is trying to speed the game up, supposedly. They're mm-hmm. also trying to save... $235,000 a guy. So how many umpires are in a major league game? What, four?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, so that's
and they're a little
flamboyant. That's a million a game on umpires.
Kind of out of the game.
Million a game. $235,000 a year. So over the course of the year.
Yeah.
You're looking at a lot. And that's $235,000, I think.
So you mean I won't have anybody to yell at if there's nobody behind the plate?
It's the computer's fault.
What do I do?
You manage.
Yell at
manage,
the automated guy.
Manage. Now you can go out and manage. Yell at the monitor.
Yeah.
Yell at the league office.
There you go.
Get suspended twice as fast. Cam, what's your thought on that real quick? I mean, because you've been a part of it with what would you think? Would you rather have?
Oh, I've seen some bad calls. So.
Would you rather have the
randomness
or the...
I wouldn't mind the challenge. I definitely wouldn't want a robot back there calling pitches.
I got you. Takes the humanity out of it.
Yeah,
I
definitely would want an actual umpire, but the challenge system would be sweet because there's been a lot of Division II, obviously, those umpires aren't MLB caliber. But
they're doing their best.
Yeah.
It's like high school guys. They're doing their best.
There's a lot of movement on those pitches, too. And they are going to blow.
If you haven't seen that, it's hard to call it.
But.
Done. Jimmy, it's wrap time. We got the finger.
I got you. Hey, we want to thank from our sponsors on the other side, Gadda Trucking, Levy Steel, Franklin Healthcare, and the Manios family, the Roberto and Gray families, the Chico Wolbert Memorial Fund. Our big one, our big one, Montrose Auto Group, John, Mike Thompson, Vinny Maculatus. Our big sports system, Howland Performance, The Den, Jesse DiGiacomo, our friends at 422 in Candywood. And we want to get...
Wine Cellars, yes.
Yep. And we also want to talk about anybody looking for help.
Come on.
Give us a call, 330-766-6790.
Tell them, Cam, get their butt in there and get some help.
I'll do my best to make you good. Cam will tell you.
Come on down.
Cam will sign some autographs.
Yep, we want to he'll be down there helping some kids if he's got time. So, we want to thank everybody. And like I said, Carl, as always, stellar effort. And Tom, you got anything real quick?
No, that's it. I'm good.
Outstanding. We'll plan on seeing everybody this week. And thanks for listening.